Welcome to Pod Save America. I'm John Favreau.
I'm John Lovett.
I'm Dan Pfeiffer.
Tommy Vitor.
The gang is all here.
Look at us.
It's time for our year-end tradition, the Pundies, where we relive the year's hottest takes and get angry all over again. Plus, we set our New Year's resolutions and see how well we kept last year's. It's always fun.
I truly don't remember.
I'm so happy I'm not on tape for that.
Yeah, well.
Suckers.
Let's start with the Pundies. And here to present this year's nominees in six exciting categories, Pod Save America writer Hallie Kiefer.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you feeling?
Very
festive.
Good. So festive.
Good, because we're here today with the actual start of the award season. Yes, I said it. The SAG Awards, more like the HAG Awards. Golden Globes, more like this shit blows. The Oscars can burn in hell. All of which is to say, it is an honor and a pleasure to join you in handing out these, the most coveted award in Hollyweird, the Pundies. And I'd like to apologize last year for when I opened the wrong envelope and gave Best Picture to La La Land. That was all on me. That wasn't even a category, and the envelope was my cable bill. Anyways, Best Picture goes to Moonlight, and Best Punditry goes to the winner of this year's categories. Let us begin. Our first category, Worst Beltway Brain. Cutting. From misguided predictions to baffling analyses, Beltway media was full of memorable missteps that sparked debates, raised eyebrows, and perhaps even shaped the discourse, a word that makes me want to turn my back on the English language. Here are the moments that made us cringe, chuckle, and really contemplate the world around us. All right, first up, you know how money rules every facet of American politics and rich people basically get their way 100% of the time?
Cream, yes.
Have you ever taken the time to truly ponder whether that's a good or bad thing? Obviously not, you fools. Luckily, Washington Post columnist Dan, I'm going to say Balls?
Yeah, Balls is correct.
Well, there you have it.
How else would you pronounce it?
I don't know. I was hoping there was another option. My eyes hidden. I thought there's got to be somebody else. Luckily, he addressed that very thing in an article titled "The Mega Rich Are the New Political Bosses." Is that bad for democracy? The demise of political party bosses and the smoke-filled rooms in which they operated was heralded a long time ago as an important step towards handing more power over the section of presidential nominees to ordinary citizens. Who would have thought then that billionaires would seek to become the new bosses of American politics? Had you guys thought about that? You guys thought about that for a second?
I guess you're making a good point. I think historically speaking, billionaires have often sought to be the bosses. Politics and a lot of other things.
I hadn't thought of it.
Is this my only in one chance to defend Dan Balls?
Yeah.
Do it. Okay.
At least in this game.
Okay, perfect. Dan Balls, best political reporter of his generation.
Wow.
Nicest guy on the planet.
Funniest name.
Yes.
Great name.
Great name. I think he was poorly served by his headline writer here.
yeah, absolutely.
As so many reporters are.
Yes.
So many.
Yeah, he is a man from a generation that predates clickbait headlines for the Washington Post. And so we're going to talk. There are going to be a lot of bad people who are terrible, who know nothing about politics in this segment. Dan Balls is not one of those people.
Yeah, there's some Elijah working at the Washington Post that made Dan Balls have an SEO headline.
We are all Dan Balls to Elijah's Washington Post.
An SEO neurism.
And today we celebrate those Elijahs. Up next.
You slap an apostrophe on that name too? It's even funnier.
It is.
You know what I'm saying?
In the possessive. Right. Something that he may have owned.
Yep. Do you ever wonder if Dan Balls and Dan Zach did a co-byline?
I like that.
Wow.
like a Ball Zach.
Yeah.
Solid.
Double.
Something for 2024, gentlemen. Up next, this year, Bidenomics could have really swayed public opinion if we just took the time to rebrand, take out the Biden, replace it with Beyonce, Barbie, or even Taylor Swift. Now we're talking, that's right, we're talking about XEO's article, Bay, Barbie, and Swift Saved the Economy. Just to read a quote, the blowout success of Taylor Swift's Eras Tour, combined with the record box office juice of the Barbie movie, is helping to buoy the economy and prevent a recession. Thanks, Barbie, for saving the economy and also letting me chew on your shoes as a kid. Just me? On to the next.
I would swap their heads with Ken. My sister would get very mad.
Just, you were ahead of the time, though. Yeah. You were thinking ahead. That's avant-garde.
Jeffrey Dahmer shit, though.
Mm-hmm.
Our third nominee, John, Tommy, congratulations. Pod Save America has finally influenced a bad Beltway take. Finally! Give yourselves a pat on the back as you delve into the playbook's read of Obama saying nobody's hands are clean. While talking about violence in Gaza during a recent PSA interview, in an article playbook titled, Nobody's Hands Are Clean. Really thinking there, guys. And under their coveted Why This Matters section, they wrote, an embrace of a two-state solution recognizing a free Palestinian state based on 1967 borders, which, by the way, was also George W. Bush's position, though now it seems like almost a pipe dream for the Palestinian cause. But on the other hand, Obama's remarks were a jaw-dropper for about a million reasons. And finally, our fourth option, would I want good quality of dating advice? But I don't. The first place I go isn't my friends or my family or even that one couple who's still going strong with their pandemic relationship. No, it's the Washington Post again, whose editorial appears to have realized just how badly our toxic politics is upsetting the domestic sphere. This, of course, is the headline, "If attitudes don't shift, a political dating mismatch will threaten marriage." And finally, to read a quote, "The problem with polarization, though, is that it has effects well beyond the political realm, and then it can be difficult to dissipate. What example is a collapse of American marriage?" That's tough stuff.
So I just want to add a little something, because I do think the political playbook conversation about Barack Obama's comments on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict included the line about his "nobody's hands are clean" comment. Mm-hmm. They may even be quickly lumped into those notorious evocative phrases politicians used in moments of passion, such as Bush's notorious "mission accomplished." So Obama's saying, hey, you know what? We all made mistakes. We're all culpable for this horrifying situation we see overseas. Let's not just point fingers at each other. Let's work together to try to solve something. It's the same as hanging a banner on a fucking aircraft carrier a month into a war that went on for, what, another decade?
Look, that is not only the worst take in that category.
Lifetime Achievement Award.
That is for Playbook, which has had some real doozies over the years.
Real humdingers.
Even though I read it every morning, and oftentimes it's very good. That is maybe one of the top five worst Playbook takes of all time.
Yeah. Well, it's already not lived. The take is already, it's already a brown banana, because it has not captured the amount. You know, it's like it isn't mission accomplished. Like it didn't carry that meaning. It just was a kind of subtle and nuanced and well-made point that that through that phrase captured people's attention. And then
one of the many reasons it wasn't like mission accomplished is because he wasn't president when he said it.
Right.
So of course it didn't matter beyond that.
I thought the foundation's decision to put it on a banner behind us was a mistake, but other than that,
I also had multiple political reporters that I was talking to say, "Yeah, that was absolutely terrible." It's rare when
Tommy dishes the tea.
I'm not naming names.
Get him,
original
Tommy.
Reporter. I'm not naming names.
Dylan Byers in the house.
I'm getting booed.
I was saying
boos and boos can sound pretty similar.
Well, but they're different. A lot of things sound similar but are different.
Remember the Bruins had a goalie named Andy Moog, and everyone should say "moo," and it sounded like "boo."
Lived up the street for me.
Do I remember a Bruins goalie? A Bruin.
Well, next category, it seems
we're calling out the winner.
Well, I want to say, unless it's... Oh. Do we want to read him again, or
No. It's Playbook.
Also, there's a lot of evidence that Barbie and Taylor Swift and Beyonce did have a big
influence on the economy.
That was a great take. And then the dating thing was just sort of funny and silly.
I think I did not enjoy the take of the dating article, because it's a little bit like, you know, every once in a while, the New York Times will do a story about how, like... a progressive will win like a small town mayorship, and then some MAGA people will like, you know, throw rocks at their house, and then the headline of the article will be like, "A nation divided, can it come together?" And it's like, that article is a little bit like that, because it's like, hey, a group of men have made themselves undateable freaks. Will marriage survive? Probably not for them, rest of us.
Yeah, bad news, gentlemen. Great. So it sounds like it is a universal Playbook. Congratulations. You've won the Pundy for the worst Beltway Brain Award this year. You stink. Next category, dumbest conservative outrage. And we got some good ones.
This is good. Ooh. I'm excited for this.
2023 was quite a year. What a statement for the outrage machines in right-wing media. Trump's multiple indictments led to multiple continued calls for civil war. Fox News settled with Dominion over a $700 million deal for lying about the 2020 election. Rupert Murdoch lived out a succession dream and handed his son Lachlan the keys to his media empire. And lest we forget, let's take a moment of silence for Tucker Carlson's acrimonious exit from Fox News to X. What a fool. Now, presenting the nominees for Pundy for Dumbest Conservative Media Outrage. Remember just a little over a month ago when Trump very casually, very chill, started referring to human beings as vermin?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I do remember.
Including us, specifically us and everyone listening. Vermin, just vermin all the way down. The vermin line prompted an entire media cycle saying that Trump was channeling the spirit and tenor of a well-known historical figure, as Reed put it in this document, Adolf Hitler. Remember him, gentlemen? Those Hitler comparisons were then prompted an entire counter-news cycle about the right denying Trump's word recalled the Nazi leader. One of the best, of course, being Newsmax's Greg Kelly. And let's take a listen. We have a clip.
Now, they say that Donald Trump is like Hitler. He's using the same words that Hitler used. Well, Hitler used the word chair, okay? I sit in a chair. That doesn't make me right, you see? But they don't stop, do they? Yeah. Is this a problem? I guess it is.
So good.
That's Hitler really... used conjunctions.
The?
Just a dumb fucking... That's just think of the people that worked on. What a good point. What a good point.
I like that you could even hear him go, like in the middle of it, he's like, I don't... I'm just about to bail, but he can't. Up next, almost nothing riles the right like reproductive freedom, but as abortion has become an Achilles heel for Republicans in elections, right-wing pundits have started to get creative with the ways they argue that abortion shouldn't be banned, because they're liars, of course. Here's Fox's Greg Gutfeld making the, I guess, transcendent case against abortion.
Abortion is based on a fear that is greater than the actual reality. And if you don't believe me, talk to somebody who had a baby and then think about how they were before they had the baby. That's called a transformational change, right? It's the best anti-abortion argument out there, and no one is making it. People do have their reasons for abortions. But underneath all that is a fear of this transformational change. And if you...
What?
Jesus Christ.
I don't understand the take.
I think the idea is that if you scream at a woman and say, you'll be happy after you have a baby,
right.
Then you're I guess I'll put aside all the other considerations.
Right, yeah. Like life
wants me to do it.
You don't know what's good for you.
Exactly.
You're going to be so psyched once you have
You might
this
have
baby.
A life-threatening complication with your pregnancy and could die, but...
But
you
if
might
you let Greg Gutfeld into your hospital room to scream at you, maybe.
You'll be good. Yeah, put on the five.
Up next, we hear the pundies. We don't want to just celebrate mainstream right-wing media outlets like Fox or Newsmax. No, we know there's a great big cesspool of far-right commentators swimming in the vast ocean of the internet that are well worth being made fun of. And that ocean, of course, is a toilet. One such reliable candidate is white supremacist and, of course, Holocaust denier Nick Fuentes, most well known to the listener for that infamous dinner between Fuentes, Kanye West, and Donald Trump, the once and future president, if we don't do something about it, people.
Not since Jefferson dined alone.
Here's what Fuentes had to say about, of course, so a topic that we all want to hear weigh in, the birds and the bees.
You should not seek sex, because if you seek sex, you will become gay, because sex is a gay act.
What?
The straightest thing you could do is to never have sex. And everyone knows that's true. Want to know why? Because you retain your semen and you sublimate your sexual desire to creating things. That's why celibacy is the straightest thing. Because who are the celibates? Monks? Priests? Soldiers?
Not a good track record.
Okay.
Famously straight.
Famous.
Yeah,
that's... What the... That was wild. Okay. I never heard that.
I want to hear the remaining contenders, but I kind of know what's going to happen
strong
here.
Lead.
Finally, here in California, we love overpriced smoothies, wearing shorts year-round. Love it. I'm talking to you. And of course, a great workout, especially yoga. But Candace Owens has her own ideas about a different kind of yoga that we all should be doing. Let's hear a clip.
So let me tell you why I like conspiracy theories. I like conspiracy theories because I view them as mind yoga. It's very important to bend your mind like a pretzel sometimes to make sure that you actually have a mind. You know what I'm saying? I actually do believe that if you don't use it, you lose it. You know, when it comes to conspiracy theories, I always say this. I say that I find the people that don't believe in any conspiracy theories to be out of their minds. They're out of their minds. They're absolutely crazy. How?
That's a tough one, too.
What was the first one again?
Well, I'll be happy to recap. We,
Thank
of
you.
Course, have Newsmax's Greg Kelly. Hitler also said chair.
Oh, yeah.
We have Greg Gutfeld, the transformational change of forcing women to have children. All sex is gay. really at all time, if you ask me. And of course, conspiracies are mind yoga. And actually, if you don't believe in conspiracy theories, you're crazy.
I will say for that last point,
I do
think you gotta have one. You gotta have one.
What's yours?
Downward lobe.
You gotta have fucking one. You gotta have one that you believe. I, for one, personally believe that Fidel Castro is the father of Justin Trudeau.
Yeah, we do know that.
We all need one.
That is yours?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do. The timelines.
This is another episode. If you want to go check
it
out,
we did this once, didn't we?
We did.
I'm sure there are votes for Fuentes, but I personally think the gutfeld take is the more kind of fulsome, terrible.
I think I'm with you.
Yeah, I just think this idea that like a guy hosting a fucking low rent Fallon for conservatives, telling women that they don't understand what's good for them. Is the story of America in 2023.
Some truth to that.
Okay.
I think the Fuentes thing is instructive in a similar way. And just it's a reminder that a lot of the worst people in politics in the United States and all over the country are just sad, pathetic men who can't get girls to talk to them. And it leads them to this place where you're an actual Nazi.
Right. Just have just very confused and untouched.
Incel culture.
Well, on that note, congratulations, Greg Gutfeld, for winning the Pundy for Dumbest Conservative Outrage. Category 3, the Jesse Waters Bonus Award, or as I'm calling it, the Jesse Waters Golden Hairline Award. 2023 wasn't just a big year for Trump indictments. It was also a big year for Jesse Waters, a.k.a. Diet Tucker Carlson, who took over Fox's primetime slot, and he came out swinging. Just, of course, like the January 6th protesters had planned for Mike Pence. Producers, let's roll that beautiful bean footage. Up front, we have, the holidays are a time for giving gifts, spreading love and joy, and if you're Jesse Waters, being aggressively upset about looting. Let's play the clip.
Allowing Americans to loot, allowing Americans to shoplift up to $900, not prosecuting street-level theft. Is this the establishment's way of paying reparations without admitting it?
Wow.
Jesus. Okay.
Off to a great start.
Yep. Wow.
Up next, we have, speaking of the holidays, Jesse Waters has thoughts about the Nutcracker and Santa Claus. Of course he does. Let's play the clip.
Gay Nutcracker, complete with a rainbow hat, a trans flag. Full price, $12, but right now it's on sale for $8.
I, of course, have two of them here with me.
So that's the Gay Nutcracker. Yeah. But do we have the other one, I think, is oh, no, do are we going to play the Santa one?
No, but there is, they also have come out against Black Santa in a wheelchair.
So as part of the war on Christmas, Target, and this is part of that clip, is that they're selling a Santa who is Black and uses a wheelchair. And that is being... That is part of their war on Christmas coverage. Mm. But of course, it's not anti-Christmas.
Right.
Because it is Santa. It's just anti-wheelchair.
Well, but Megyn Kelly famously told us that Santa is white.
So it's a war on Christmas because you're changing
with your
Santa.
Right. Just, okay.
Sorry, pal.
I get it.
Anyway, reparations is still in the lead for me.
Yeah,
I don't know if we have another.
No.
Up next, again, in July, the world was eagerly awaiting the start of the Women's World Cup, and Jesse Waters, unfortunately, was too.
Some people have told me that I have actually done more for women's sports than Megan Rapinoe has done, that maybe she's a traitor in the war on women, and I have fought valiantly in that war, obviously on the women's side. That's not me saying that, and I actually disagree with that. I'm just saying it's something that's being said.
That's funny.
That's funny.
I'm sorry, but that was funny. Yeah. That is funny.
He's not saying it. He also does disagree with it.
Just a quick reminder that Jesse Waters flattened his now wife's tires so that he could do a damsel in distress thing and give her a ride home.
I believe an intern.
She was an intern at the time. Yeah.
Oh.
What a good guy.
He let the air out of her tires.
He told the story on television. They were like, but it's okay because we're married now. And everyone was like,
is there?
Yes.
You're a serial killer.
And finally, Jesse isn't just an advocate for women's sports. He's also a paragon of masculinity with a lot of thoughts about how men should drink liquids. Let's hear that clip.
Joe Biden used a straw. Now, if you've seen me on The Five or on Primetime, you know I recommend that all men refrain from using straws. It's unbecoming. The way a man's lips purse. The size of the straw is just too dainty. the way your fingers clasp on it. No, come on. Straws are for women and little kids.
Straws are just baby dicks. No?
It sounds like when you think about
it. When you think about it.
He said they're too dainty. If he had a big fat straw, like it sounds like he'd be more okay with it.
Like a PVC pipe.
Some real circumference on that straw.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing that is very frustrating to me about this. It can't be that the woke liberals are taking away our straws and straws are just for fags and kids.
Right,
it can't be that. You have to just pick one.
Good point.
Well, she didn't play the second part of the clip where he said the only thing gayer than a plastic straw is a paper straw.
Oh, yeah.
No. That's just true.
I was going to say that is pretty believable.
Here's the thing. I just think it may not come up in the polling, but just underneath some of Biden's challenges related to age are every time you're handed a paper straw, a little part of you is like, I could vote for Trump. Like, I don't know if it'll stop this, but it couldn't hurt.
And with that in mind, gentlemen.
Or they don't give you a straw at all.
Yeah, oh, you got it, yeah.
Well, how am I supposed to drink this thing?
In Los Angeles, you have to ask for the straw.
I know.
I think it's a city ordinance, right?
Yeah, you bet it is.
City ordinance.
You bet it is.
Welcome to L.A.
Yeah, thanks, Garcetti. Where are you now? Is he in Mumbai or not? they finally get.
He's taking all their straws away.
They finally get his one-way ticket. He took away our straws, one-way ticket to fucking Mumbai. Adios, man. Get out of here. Every time I go to Starbucks, I got to ask for a straw. My dentist told me to.
It's like when Shane Gillis says learning too much about World War II is early onset Republicanism. It's a very similar vibe.
So, gentlemen, just to recap, we have is looting reparations, gay nutcracker, bad. Some people have told me I have actually done more for women's sports than Megan Rapinoe. And, of course, Biden using a straw. It's more than a little gay. Which of these should win the illustrious Jesse Waters bonus award?
For me, it's reparations by a mile. It's not often you just get like pure uncut racism like that.
If that was said at a group dinner, jaws would drop.
Right.
Shocked, people would leave.
There's no debate over that one. It's just right there.
Yeah. Just a racist comment.
Well, congratulations, Jesse Waters.
Congrats, Jesse.
You stink.
You suck.
Category 4, worst take. By a pod safe American host. That's you guys.
There we go. I think I know what mine is.
Good stuff.
Oh, God.
You guys aren't in the prediction business. Again, Reed, come on. Which is funny because you made a lot of predictions this year. Okay, here are the nominees for worst take by a pod save America host.
Oh.
And PU, did you guys have some duds? This year was filled with Republican speaker chaos after they booted out McCarthy and couldn't coalesce around a new leader. Dan weighed in, tweeting, 1, I'm skeptical Mike Johnson is a real person. 2, it's so damn funny these members think that a guy who lost to the guy who couldn't get 217 votes is the one who can get 217 votes. Of course, Mike Johnson was elected speaker immediately after that
tweet. You're
welcome. You have blown it, Daniel. Up next. Unfortunately, and I did not order these. Unfortunately, Dan is also next. Dan was on a prediction streak this year. Senator Tommy Tuberville pulled a great big stinky stunt this year, holding up all the military promotions in protest of military reproductive health care policies. Dan predicted in July that Tuberville would quickly fold on his military promotions holdup, but Tuberville held strong for most of the year. Dan was only off by 5 months.
I was using the long span of history.
Right, yeah. Yes. The long arc of justice.
This is one.
Oof. Dan taken down for having too much faith in Tommy.
It was short for a baobab tree.
Up next, while Lovett got a lot of heat for supporting Tim Scott, our very own Jon Favreau made an even bolder prediction back in June.
What? I don't know what this is.
Vivek Ramaswamy would beat at least Ron DeSantis.
I did say that.
Obviously, Vivek's star has since fallen rapidly.
Hey, the votes have not been cast.
I was going to say.
There's still plenty of time.
Remains to be seen.
Oh, I think it's just so he could smile. And you're like, well, one of them could smile. It's going to be that one. But then when he opens his mouth, it's all bad. And finally, Lovett spent all summer focused on the issues that matter. The Gwyneth Paltrow ski trial. On the day Trump was indicted, he tweeted, Trump indicted, Gwyneth innocent. God bless this country. And I'm saying this now, Gwyneth did hit that man. I believe it. I am a Gwyneth truther. She absolutely hit that man.
That's ridiculous. I'm not
saying anything else is true about what he said. I'm saying if she did do it. She did it.
That's my bad take. I've had so many worse takes than that. Gwyneth was innocent. In a court of law.
Can you just convince a worse Lovett take than that?
Oh, all of a sudden we believe in the court system. Okay. Well, I didn't pick these.
I think we're going to have to pretty soon.
Oh, shit.
Much like how Much like how Warren Beatty didn't write all the envelopes, I am simply hosting the Pundies. This, I was given this and I am hosting. Gentlemen, who's taking home the award for worst take?
We don't have a Tommy take?
We have an entire Tommy round. It's a surprise.
That's so tough.
You should let me say something obnoxious first to set myself up.
Damn it. It was so close. It was on the tip of his tongue.
I will nominate myself for Mike Johnson.
Okay.
Yeah. Ugh.
And,
that's fun.
And the lesson, which may...
he cares too much.
I may...
This fucking fag.
So, gentlemen, who is taking home the award for worst take by a PodSafe America host, sans Tommy round?
Yeah, it's definitely Pfeiffer.
I do think that was tough. That was tough. I mean, we'll see with the Vivek thing.
Yeah, exactly. Plenty of time.
It's also, you have two takes from me that are clearly wrong. One from John that is likely wrong, but not yet wrong, so we can hang on to that fig leaf. And then one where you're just disavowing the American justice system.
That's
true.
Doing, would you say mental yoga right now?
I believe very much in mental yoga. And actually, if you don't, you're the one who's crazy, Dan. Anyways, category 5. Good. Up next. Now you might all be wondering, not a single bad take from Tommy all year. And that's true. He was on an absolute heater. Okay. John, and Dan, you could learn a thing about discipline and consistency from Tommy. Strong arms, winning smile. If anyone were to run, well, it'd be a no-brainer, but not so fast. We did find a lot of bizarre nonsense on Tommy's Twitter, inspiring a new category called...
No.
What was Tommy up to? Here are your nominees for the What Was Tommy Up To award. First tweet, at Gavin Newsom, off to a great start. Put politics aside and name Ben Shapiro your emergency flood coordinator. He'll have this place bone dry in no time.
That's good. That's a good take.
You guys don't know what that's referencing?
That's good.
That's just funny. That's a good joke.
That's just a good take.
Up next, being over 40 means you will never understand why everyone is tweeting Kevin James photos, and that's okay. This is my Twitter serenity prayer.
That meme made no sense.
I still don't understand
Kevin James everywhere. Even the people tweeting Kevin James didn't know why they were tweeting Kevin James.
I know what you mean, and I don't know either.
Look at her.
So this does anyone know here?
I'm sorry, but I do know.
What can you explain it?
Well, it's because he's making a real funny face. And it's like, what if he's the DJ? What if he's the DJ? The idea is, who put that terrible song on? And then you cut to Kevin James being like, oops, it was me, Kevin James. America's sweetheart. I don't think you need to overthink it.
That's probably right.
Okay.
That's the lesson that Lovett wants to impart to all of us.
Don't overthink it.
Up next, this might be the least relatable article ever written. You gorged on your European vacation but lost weight. I also saw that. I didn't understand it.
I think it was in the New York Times.
Could that possibly be true?
It was some bullshit about like preservatives, I think.
Oh, yeah. Our food's bad. I think it was the...
Yeah.
Another point. It was insufferable.
The idea that the reason that you can go to Europe, gorge for a week, and not gain weight because in America we have xanthan gum in our fucking food.
Yeah, that's the argument.
What a bunch of fucking horseshit.
Does that ever happen? Like,
I think that might be my one conspiracy theory.
Because you walk through
the
cities the whole time.
Yeah, that's your cerebral cortex cat cow over there.
Oh yeah, I feel it working out. Doing the downward dog up in here, thinking about all that bread. And finally. Just got a phone burner auto-generated email message that started, Happy New Year to you and your family. Get your shit together, people. It's September. And no, I will never take the call. Gentlemen, which Tommy tweet should walk home in their Karayumas with the coveted What's Tommy Up To award?
I think the last one, maybe.
Yeah. I think...
Is the award for what's like? What is?
Yeah, they've all got a real like.
Dan, to
over
answer your
40,
question.
Over 40, I'm on the line.
Yeah. The first one's the funniest.
A lot of like rare. Where's my Schnippers Deli? Kind of.
Ooh, I didn't thought about Schnippers in a while.
That is referencing a infamous but famous also John Podhoretz tweet where he yelled at a hamburger place and he drove himself off Twitter
and then came back and then went off
then
again.
Drove himself off again.
I think the broader point here is in the year in which many Americans took Twitter off their phone, tweeted less, Tommy leaned in.
Yeah,
he really leaned in.
Yeah.
I did, didn't I? Sheryl Sandberg, that shit.
So again, tweeting at Gavin Newsom about Ben Shapiro's WAP opinions, saying that he's too old to understand the Kevin James meme
that Lovett
tried to explain, boy, that was a tough walk. And then European bread makes you thin, and of course, finally, just yelling at an auto-generated email message he received.
That's some whole. girls
that's
in
pretty
this
yelling
house.
At the, that's a pretty that's yelling well, at class.
Yeah, yeah, that's okay.
I think
yeah.
I think
the
like,
auto generated message.
Yeah, that's one like that one step. Me. That's one step away from being like Southwest. You technically didn't board the B group in order.
Postmates, stop with the robots.
Yeah, I hate the robots.
I do too.
Tommy, great job.
Thank you.
Keep them coming.
Thanks
and finally, this is the last category, and we've had a lot of fun. I could go all day, you know. And finally, it's the moment you've all been waiting for. Takes come and go, but only one will be remembered as 2023's take of the year. Gentlemen, I'm shaking with anticipation and also thinking about that queer nutcracker thing. These are my children. Leave them alone. Here are your nominees. Ben Terris?
Mm-hmm.
Ben Terris in the Washington Post with this headline, Awkward Americans See Themselves in Ron DeSantis.
Oh, that's one of the best stories of the year.
That is a very self-aware story.
At least the Pulitzers or the Pundies.
Yeah. Well, let me just read a quick quote. He's, of course, interviewing the Twitter clothes reviewer Menswear Guy.
I love that guy.
And the quote is, when Guy, the menswear writer, watched a video of DeSantis cycling through four different facial expressions in about 3 seconds during a news conference, which we've all seen before, he said something disturbing. What he said was, oh God, he remembers saying to himself, that's me. That's more about that guy though.
Yeah.
Right? That's chilling.
Yeah.
But that's that man's journey. That's complicated.
You should have got Dan's balls on that byline. Straighten that story out.
At the very beginning, there was a Republican, as we're recording this, there was a Republican debate last night. And if you just watch the first 15 seconds of the debate, when they go to a wide shot and you see Ron DeSantis, his hands are at his side,
so
vibrating,
so
and touching.
Awkward.
And it wasn't just the first; they went back a couple times during the debate, and every single time he was doing it.
It's it's really he's nervous. He's nervous, and he's like he's trying to get the energy out of his body. It's like very
awkward.
Relatable.
He's so awkward. I'm still pulling for Vivek.
the jaw is dancing. Like he's been at Studio 54 a couple hours.
A lot of teeth grinding.
That's all I'm saying.
A lot of teeth grinding. Okay.
I'm not here to give News Nation advice, but they were trying to make a little extra income on top of the 55,000 viewers a night they get. Premium DeSantis cam.
Yeah. Oh,
$5 you get DeSantis the whole time. Yeah. Never leaves him.
Dan to save the news business.
Right. Yeah. I love that.
And five more dollars just the feet.
DeSantis feet.
Yeah. Mm.
Up next, we have Peter Baker in the New York Times with an article titled Trump Flourishes in the Glare of His Indictment.
I remember this story. This is one of the worst stories of the year.
And I'm assuming he means a flourish of his hand after he backhands a maintenance man for not ruining his boxes of confidential documents with pool water. Here's an excerpt from the article. He has spent the days since a grand jury called him a potential criminal, milking the moment for all it's worth, savoring the attention as no one else in modern American politics would. That's not
good. Pretty good.
Yeah. Right.
Up next, we have Harry Enten on CNN in May. DeSantis has a chance at winning the nom. And here's an excerpt. Still, DeSantis remains by far the best hope for anti-Trump forces within the GOP. And a few recent historical examples indicate he has a real chance to be his party's nominee. And then finally, Henry Olson in a Washington Post op-ed, Republicans saved democracy in 2020. And an excerpt from that.
I remember that one, too.
Yeah, me too.
Former Vice President Mike Pence has received some credit for his courage in resisting Trump's entreaties, but not nearly enough. The same is true of Republican leaders at every level of government who put country over party. A swing and a miss for Henry Olson and a missed swing for Mike Pence. Gentlemen, who has earned this year's take of the year?
So I do think we need to say, I think the Harry Enten take was just a fine look at the data. It was just trying to find an argument.
Yeah.
I think that this is, and the Ben Terris story I thought
it's
was
just
good.
A great
it's
piece.
Just a good,
one
so
of the
I think this is very
year.
Clearly between that Republicans saved the Republic and the Peter Baker Trump flourishes under indictment.
Agreed.
I think those are the two, the alpha and omega of this category.
Because we're basically in the take purge zone, which means any take I make right now is ineligible for next year's take at Pundit of the Year.
Very smart, Dan.
So the take I'm going to offer is Harry Enten right then, still correct right now.
Wow.
Damn, Daniel.
All right.
What?
Damn,
Tommy
Vitor,
what does that mean?
Doesn't get a current Kevin James meme, but damn Daniel's the fucking... Tommy's like, what if my vine isn't working? Like, is anyone else having problems getting their new vines?
Ben Terris famously smoked out Tim Scott's girlfriend, too.
He did.
and wrote that amazing piece on the Conway marriage where they like let him into his house.
Oh my god. I was, by the way, so confused. I was like, Ben Terrace smoked weed with Tim Scott's girlfriend?
I'd read that article.
So I do want to, like, there is something about, like, there is a kind of, like, handshake between the Peter Baker, Trump flourishes under indictment stories, and the Trump is a dictator standing astride history because indictments can't stop him and normal politics can't stop him, which is that, like, this idea of, like, Trump as a magical figure who hangs above everything like a fucking fart. And I just sort of, I just think that there's something that unites the anti-Trump and nonpartisan media in how they sometimes talk about Trump. That's just an observation I wanted to make.
Good observation.
Yeah. Well, and no one embodies that better than Peter Baker.
Absolutely. Nobody.
His stories are all bangers in that regard. I got to go with Henry Olson just because, yeah, it's the Republicans. The Republican Party, the elected leaders of that party, just famously backing away from Trump at all the right moments.
Well, it's just sort of like, here's the thing. If a person, I don't know, jumps on a trampoline for a while, nobody's like, wow, great job. If a bear does it, everyone's like, wow, that bear's smart and cool. Republicans protecting democracy are like bears on a trampoline. Everyone's like, look at that.
This is the Axis dancing bear thing.
Axis dancing bear thing.
Yeah, he leveled it up with a trampoline. Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah. You even heard Axelrod say that?
That's dancing bear?
Yeah.
On a trampoline?
When a bear is dancing, you don't critique the bear's dancing. You just say, what the fuck's the bear dancing for?
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Great minds. I also think Joe Biden's too old.
Also a prick.
Wow.
Shots fired. I feel like that's the take of the year, gentlemen.
Shots fired.
Holy shit.
Oh my God.
Holy shit. Oh man. Unbelievable.
Somebody get the Kevlar.
What the fuck?
Well, congratulations.
This is the place to ride a 3-hour bus with you.
It's the holidays.
I didn't know what else to do.
It's the fucking holidays.
Funny. It was great.
Hanukkah, love it.
Jesus.
First night. Yeah.
Congratulations to Peter Baker, Henry Olsen, and of course, Jon Favreau for those takes. Gentlemen, this was this year's Pundies. Thank you for having me.
Woo! Allie Keeper,
thank you so much for having me.
Allie Keeper.
Crushed it. Yeah. All right, a few quick housekeeping notes. 2024 is a huge, super high-stakes election year, and there's so much to keep track of. You got important voting deadlines, volunteer shifts, emergency therapy, and apparently you still have to go to work and stuff. That's why Cricket and Vote Save America created a 2024 planner to help you stay sane and organized next year. It's filled with important dates, much-needed motivation, and fun stuff to keep you from losing your mind. To get your planner, head to Cricket.com/store now.
It's very funny and good.
That's cool. I didn't know we were selling that.
I love when John learns the housekeeping for the first time.
It's every time. Also, if you're looking for something to binge this holiday season, Friends of the Pod subscribers now have access to a new limited series feed where you can listen uninterrupted to This Land, Dreamtown, Adelanto, and Another Russia right now. Three fantastic limited series that we've done here. Check them out. Head to Kroger.com/friends to sign up and listen.
Don't you wish everything was more rewarding? With Rakuten, almost everything is. You can earn cash back on those new shoes you've been wanting. You can save on the next trip you book. You can cash in on groceries. Just join. Shop your favorite brands and save. Target, Instacart, Expedia, Macy's, Sephora, CVS, the list is long. Save online, in-store, and at over 22,000 restaurants. And when it's time to redeem those rewards, get your money exactly how you want it. Choose PayPal, check, Bilt points, or cash out with gift cards. So go ahead, take a trip, fill a cart, order dessert. Rakuten is a world of rewards. Join today for free. Go to Rakuten.com or get the app. That's Rakuten.
All right. It's our last segment of the year, which means it is time to set our New Year's resolutions. Love it. We're going to start with you.
Well, don't we start with the previous year's resolutions? Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's. I want to. Don't I get to hear what my. Oh, you're.
I'm just doing it.
Well, I thought you turned to me to talk. You turned to me and said, I thought, start
my
with
you.
My
mouth was open to say another thing.
Well, I didn't seem like it. Didn't
what
seem
happened?
Like it. Didn't
Leave
seem
it.
Like
Leave
didn't seem
it.
Like it.
All
didn't
in.
Seem like it.
Love it. Let's start Leave with you. In. Here's what you said last year.
Thank you. I want to start more books. I don't need to finish them. No. It's just specific. It's specific. I want to start more books because I feel like there's this pressure to fin- Abdul made this resolution about finishing more books. No. That's wrong. You should start. If you're not, it's like if you're making every flight, you're going to the airport too early. If you're finishing every book, you're not taking enough chances out there. I want to start stuff and just know that if I don't finish it, it's okay. You know, so I want to start more books.
Nerd. How'd you do?
I fucking crushed. My Audible is a graveyard of first chapters. I did it. Like, remember early in the year, I was talking about how I was reading that book, Rise and Kill First, about the early days of Israel and the Mossad.
Gets to the late days too.
What?
It gets up to like 2012.
Yeah, but once it got morally ambivalent, I got out.
Right.
When they were hunting Nazis, I was fucking in. But by the time it got to the part where, oh, this is a deeply, deeply troubling situation, I was like, fuck it, it's time for some fiction.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't remember that was your resolution, but I did the same thing this year.
Good. I'm proud of you.
I started, there's my Kindle, just a ton of books where there's like, you know, 10% done, 8% done. Anyway.
Big Amazon over here. Real cool.
All right, love it. What's your resolution for this year?
So I was thinking a lot about where my resolution was going to be, and here's what my resolution is. Because, look, as everyone listening knows, I have discovered a new kind of emotional and psychological discipline around diet and exercise called experimental pancreas medicine. And because of that, what I realized is for the first time, as far back as I can remember, I've always had a diet and exercise resolution. I've always had a resolution that was tied to the fact that I feel bad about how I eat and I feel guilty whenever I eat too much and that like I'm always spending a huge part of my brain on that project. And for the first time, I don't have that. I really don't. And it's really cool. Forget the fact that like it helps you lose weight. Like it helps free myself from a really unhealthy relationship with food. And so my resolution is to not spend the year worrying about food and diet, like for the first time to go into this year without any kind of like emotionally unhealthy relationship with food and diet and exercise. That's my resolution, and to keep that going.
Great. Good luck.
Thanks. As long as Novo Nordisk can keep this shit rolling off the fucking assembly line, I think I'll be fine.
Next up is Dan.
Sometimes the diabetics get all the medicine and gotta wait.
Oh my God.
I'm just kidding. I waited for the shortages to be over, people. I don't want to stay out of my threads.
Next up is Dan. Dan, here's your resolution from last year.
Dan, what, you got one for 2023?
In 2023, my resolution is to not mail in the New Year's resolution section of this podcast, which I do every year.
Yeah, we really do come up with them in real time.
Okay, well, that's it, huh?
That's it.
Well, you know what? The playback next year is not going to be as weird.
Yeah. Debatable.
I'm going to set some context, which is 2 years ago, I went first. And my resolution was something very basic, is that I was going to start playing pickup basketball again. Mm. Then, right after me went Lovett, who gave a very extensive, vulnerable take on how he's improved his mental health and how he wanted to focus on it.
It was post-pandemic. That was post-pandemic.
You're coming out of the pandemic. It was very thoughtful. Then we get to our show last year, and they play Lovett's first, and then mine. Which did not age well.
Yeah, yeah. Mine was like to find joy and meaning in the small things, and Dan's like dribble, dribble, dribble.
I want to shoot more.
But then I will admit that 90 minutes ago,
I'm so glad.
Here we go.
I asked John if he would tell me what my resolution was because, like the nerd he is, he prepped for this by listening to last year's pod on the way to the studio today.
Yeah.
And 89 minutes before that, I texted my wife to say I need a New Year's resolution for this year.
And I was about to tell Dan, but then he's like, because I can't do it last minute again. And then I was like, you know what? I can't tell you.
You already have done it last minute.
Yeah, I have. I already failed.
Yeah, I think this is going great.
Yeah. So next year, I'm not going to do that one again because I will fail it again. So I got to say something. I have at least a slightly greater chance.
This is the most like meta resolution I've ever heard in my life.
Just like looking through mirrors.
Yes. The thing I really want to work on this year is regaining some semblance of my attention span.
Ooh, that's a great sign.
Yeah, because I really have felt.
Mine.
Trust me, I looked at the order in the script.
Mine's close.
But like in the Republican debate, when they ask which president is your role model, you have to make sure you're not last on the Republican debate because you can't do Reagan. Yeah.
Get cool.
If you're going to do attention span, you got to come before Jon Favreau here. And so I do feel post-pandemic, post two kids, my attention span really has shortened, and that I'm not reading enough stuff. I have spent too much time with podcasts in my ears. I don't listen to the same number of podcasts, to be very clear. Just not like, I'm gonna try to find more time when I'm not like, do it in the car, not like walking around doing the dishes. I want to spend less time on social media. I want to thank Elon Musk for making that somewhat easier. But I really, like, I talk about it all the time, but I really do need to turn the notifications for a lot of stuff off my phone, or at least the non-sports notifications off my phone.
That's great.
I like that resolution.
I like that one. All right, here's what I said last year.
Resolution for me, you're going to roll your eyes. I'm going to volunteer more. And I know. But I feel like by saying it out loud like this, I'm going to be held accountable. And like, it's one of those things you always want to do, but like, I got to actually go out and do it on a regular basis.
If you have a nonprofit organization, a charity, whatever,
it's not like donate either. Cause, you got to like show up. You need show up.
If you need Jon Favreau's time, message him on social media.
Hey, everybody, can you just hear that silence? That's the sound of soup not being ladled.
I just want you all to know, I have never whiffed on a New Year's resolution as hard as I whiffed on that one. I did zero volunteering.
Oh, buddy.
That is not true. We went door to door.
I never saw
I didn't
you.
Cut that as volunteer.
That's why I was wondering. Yeah. I never saw you.
I was the set of footprints next to you.
Yeah. we did the Taste of Home thing with Emily and Hannah.
I thought about that.
That was last two years ago.
No, that was for their that was for their birthday 2 years ago. So because I had the same thought, Tommy, and we did obviously knock on doors in Louisville and that, but that I know I'm not counting because that's like political.
If you film it for social media, it doesn't count.
Yeah, exactly. So I just fucked up, and I did donate a lot, which is exactly what I told myself I couldn't do. But like, that is the thing. You're like, oh, I don't have the time, so I'm just going to donate money instead. It's not a good substitute. I mean, it's a fine substitute. It's better than nothing, but I fucked it up. So maybe I'll volunteer this year.
Yeah, okay.
But that's not my resolution. My resolution's about me.
There's one thing I learned myself in 2020 is I can't help others. Yeah. Maybe I can help myself.
That's exactly.
Yeah, well, that's where you have to start. How are you going to love somebody else if you can't love yourself, as RuPaul would say?
Part of my resolution is like similar to Dan's, which is my attention span's gone. I have a strategy, which is I want to take like a walk 20 to 30 minutes a day, maybe a couple days a week, realistically, where I don't bring my phone and I don't listen to anything.
It's big on TikTok, the silent walk.
Yeah, the silent walk. And because I've done it a few times over the last year.
Yeah.
And it actually does like clear out your head, makes you feel better, slows everything down. And it's I think next year, especially with the election and about to have two kids, could use the time. So I'm going to hopefully take just a little time for myself to just walk around with my thoughts.
Can I ask you one question just so we put safety into this?
Sure.
Do you remember the time you went for the walk and you fell and broke your shoulder?
Yeah. No, I'm still dealing with that.
Did you limp home or did you call for help?
I limped home.
Okay. All right.
Can I add something to your resolution?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to issue a challenge right now. Mm-hmm. And here's my challenge. Can you promise to us right now that in the year 2024...
I'll volunteer once?
No, I don't care. You will... That's not what this is about. This is about you. I want you
Thank
to
you.
Promise to the listeners that you will not use your phone at the urinal. I want you to make a promise.
Don't make that promise.
Do not... You're not going to... You can. That is time that can be just for you.
I should say, I've walked into the bathroom and have seen you use your phone at the urinal.
No,
What's the opportunity cost there? Like a little gander at your own dick? Like what are we missing out on?
Yeah. It's thoughts in your own head.
I think it's
a perfect time to look at your phone.
It's not a perfect time to look at your phone.
Perfect time to look at your phone.
Great time.
So like, no, you're not in.
No, I'm not for that.
Okay.
No, I'm not
All right.
for that.
All right. All right.
This is all from offline challenge, but then once in a while I just go to the bathroom without the phone. It is nice to just go without the phone to the bathroom.
Yeah, a little treat.
Because if it's there.
It's just you and your penis. Hey, old friend. Sorry, I've been so distracted. I should be more present with you.
Anyway.
All right.
Walks alone. From volunteering to walks alone.
Basically, yeah. You want to do the part where you're not on your phone all the time, but you wanted to help anybody.
As I listened to my resolution from last year and knew what I was going to do for this year, I was just like, oh, I'm an asshole. But anyway, finally, Tommy, you were out during our resolutions mm-hmm. episode last year. So we thought we'd try something different and let the Discord members submit one for you react to.
Come on.
Don't worry. It's not a funny one. It's genuine. This is, I know. So you're going to hate it even more. This is from Erica, A few years ago when the Republicans here in North Carolina did some fuckery with a bunch of constitutional amendments, I used my socials to cover an amendment each week, and it felt like I was just shouting into a vacuum. But then a coworker came up to me in late October and asked where my amendment update was. So I want to use this year whatever platform I do have to make sure people know that I can and will tell them what's at stake. Tommy, what do you think? Does that feel doable, using your platforms to tell people what's at stake?
I mean, that's very nice. I feel like I do a lot of that.
Yeah, what the fuck else are we doing
here all this day? Whole podcast?
Yeah, I guess.
I don't think she's challenged. She's not. You're not being chastised.
The challenge?
This is about her, I think.
Yeah.
I feel like this is supposed to be adversarial. That's what we do here.
No. Yeah, not with the listeners, with each other.
Hey, interesting. Why do you feel that way? What a funny reaction.
Do I get to talk, or does Discord get to talk for me?
You get to talk.
Okay,
Tom.
Great. I do want to, again, say to John, Gen Z thinks they invented walking without headphones. So I just do think
that's wild.
Important
the
and
silent
funny.
Walk.
I have a few, because I'm the anti-Dan in this. Next year, I want to skip this recording again so that I cannot be held accountable once again. Two, I somehow got on a list that has led me to get dozens of cold emails from random tech consultants. I want to find that list, destroy it, and destroy whoever created it. Do you not get these?
So the first resolution,
I do.
The first resolution is to not do something, and the second resolution is to unsubscribe from something.
Do you get them from
no,
people?
No, 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 no.
Do you get them from
to murder someone?
Oh. Yes. Tommy, do you get them from people trying to solicit crooked?
Yes.
Specifically, and it's like, hey, John, love to talk to you about your blah blah
your
blah
SEO optimization.
And then I don't respond because I'm
them.
Not going to respond to fucking people who email me who I don't know well, just out of the blue to solicit me.
I can tell you
so
something.
I don't respond. And then a week later, you get, hey, John, just following up. Would love to do a call
with a link for you to click for their own calendar.
And then sometimes you get like the fourth or fifth email. It's like, hey, John, if you don't want to talk to me or there's someone better at the company to talk to, just let me know. It's like, no, fuck you.
Well, this is right. Like, hey,
stop bothering me.
If you're coming to me directly to ask about business, I already know you're not the kind of person that I should be doing business with.
That's exactly right.
That's yeah, what I'm talking
this
about.
Is not, you're, if you're coming to me, you've made a mistake.
Learn better.
Good resolution, Tommy.
Apparently, I need to tweet younger. That's a problem
for me. I think trying to tweet younger is going to be a problem
yeah.
for you.
Yeah, I would try to thread contemporary.
Okay. Brutal.
Hey, hey, toot your age.
Yeah, I want to
tweet younger. I think that's what Jared Leto got. Oh boy.
I want to finally convince you guys that January 6th was an inside job.
Okay.
I've been running, pushing this boulder up the hill. I want to force myself to stay in bed until 5:30 in the morning, no matter what.
Oh, God.
Wow.
This is an insomnia thing.
Between John wanting to take walks outside and you wanting to sleep till 5:30, you might as well get a comfortable pair of shoes and go to the mall.
It's not even about sleeping. It's about training your body that you don't get a reward if you get up at 4:15, you fucking psycho.
I think you do.
Yeah.
You get texting
us about the news.
Look, I have said at least three really bad polls by 4 by 5 in the morning.
I know, and it just sends me.
I'm not on this chain. I'm sleeping through
I want to win elections.
Huh? Oh. Jesus fucking
The worst
Christ.
Thing to do is the eh.
Oh, you like that one?
I want to hang out with my daughter more.
Oh.
You have a problem with that? Why don't you take it up with her?
Yeah, wow.
1 year old.
1 year. 1 year.
Mm-hmm. Well, I could say year and change now. A year and a day.
That's a good resolution.
There just seems to be
a great way to end.
I feel like you did a bunch of resolutions. Not one of them showed a shred of vulnerability or desire to change.
Oh, I'm sorry. Eating
better.
Taking a shot to eat better.
We were joking earlier about the time Tommy did the resolution that was like, I'm going to work out less.
Work out less and eat more fat.
I've never triggered you harder.
That was
the all-time most frustrating fucking resolution.
I want to work out less and eat more junk food.
And then had to come back here later and say, failed.
Failed. I still look like this.
Yeah, I still look like this. Yeah. Maybe I will get the sweet sauce with my salmon. Fucking unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Is this over yet?
All right, that's our show for today and this year. Those are the pundies. Those were our resolutions. Make sure to hold each other accountable. Everyone have a fantastic holiday, fantastic New Year's. We'll see you in 2025.
Oh,
no.
No, probably not.
Leave it in. Boy, would that be awesome.
Leave it in, yeah. Wake me up.
I guess.
Wake me up before September ends.
Fuck. We'll see you in 2024. Bye. Pod Save America is a Crooked Media production. Our producers are Olivia Martinez and David Toledo. Our associate producer is Farah Safari. Writing support from Hallie Kiefer. Reed Cherlin is our executive producer. The show is mixed and edited by Andrew Chadwick. Jordan Cantor is our sound engineer, with audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Madeline Herringer is our head of news and programming. Matt DeGroat is our head of production. Andy Taft is our executive assistant. Thanks to our digital team, Elijah Cohn, Haley Jones, Mia Kelman, David Tolles, Kirill Pelaviv, and Molly Lobel. Subscribe to Pod Save America on YouTube to catch full episodes and extra video content. Find us at youtube.com/@PodSaveAmerica. Finally, you can join our Friends of the Pod subscription community for ad-free episodes, exclusive content, and a great discussion on Discord. Plus, it's a great way to get involved with Vote Save America. Sign up at crooked.com/friends.